And just like that, we're back.
Back.
Bruh Migos Podcast. You already know who I am. I'm Price. Homie Rob. Just us two today. Giving you guys the work.
As work.
We're going to talk NFL, AFC West predictions, NBA. What we think the NBA is going to look like this year. Because you know Bradley Beal just went to the Clippers. Also, Rob has a little new segment that we're going to bring in for him today. MLB. Pete Alonso wants to bring in fist fight. He wants to throw them hands.
It's that fade.
And we're talking all of that today. Bruh Migos Podcast. You got to remember, baby. You got to remember where all.
What they got to remember to do? What you got to remember to do? What they got to remember to do?
Like and subscribe, baby.
Oh, there it is. Did y'all see that?
They got to see.
Oh, my goodness.
You know. Look, Rob, today we're going to jump straight into it. NFL AFC West predictions.
Yeah, we
know y'all like it. NFL is on the rise. And the start, point blank period. Can the Broncos buck the Chiefs? What you thinking, Rob? You think they can go ahead and beat the Chiefs, bro?
And we're going to talk about a little bit more about the Chiefs because, you know, they're the reigning, defending, undisputed AFC champions. Like, they basically have been that, you know, for a good long time, or not for a good long time, but they've been in that game. But when you got a team like this, the Broncos, who had the third best defense in all of football last year and the reigning defending undisputed defensive player of the year, and Patrick Surtain the second, I mean, it's as good of a team as basically you're going to be able to do. You got Bo Nix coming back for year two. So are we going to get sophomore slump Bo Nix? You know, he did play well last year, especially in the first year period, but with Sean Payton in the offense, especially them coming off of Russell Wilson. I thought he played well. They did add a little bit, not a lot, you know, got Trent Sherfield, who was a nice one, who's a nice piece as far as, like, you know, within that wide receiver crew. They did basically pick up, they picked up J.K. Dobbins to go in that backfield. Like Evan Ingram, like they did went out and got some players, you know, so like it's going to look a little bit different, but they did improve their defense. Got Taloa Hufanga to basically go along with that third ranked defense last year. They got basically pieces to say like, hey, we can basically make a run, especially with Vance Joseph at the helm, captaining that defense, who chances are if he basically puts up a same or similar type of outing this year, he might be up for a head coaching position again, which, you know, is going to be long, you know, basically ain't going to be long for him if history has shown us. But nah, man, I think this is a team that is ready to unseat the reigning defending undisputed AFC champs with Kansas City Chiefs.
Do I think that they're going to unseat them? Not necessarily. I do think that they're going to give them a great run. I do think that this is going to depend upon if Bo Nix has a sophomore slump. And I also see a team that we're going to talk about coming up and a team going down.
That's damn sure going to make this division
look different than what it was last year. I think the Chiefs made a lot of good adjustments. I think that the Broncos made a lot of good adjustments. But can Bo Nix and can that Denver defense, are they going to be ready? Because I think Patrick Mahomes may have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. He might have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder.
How could he have a chip on his shoulder? Like, the motherfuckers. Go ahead.
He didn't win it all, bro.
But that was like, it's not as if he's never won it all. That motherfucker won it all the 2 years prior. Like, what chip?
He's not satisfied. Okay. I think he has that Michael Jordan personality of, I took this shit personally that I didn't win.
I don't think anybody's watching this. I don't think anybody not watching this outside of the yellow eyed motherfucker that basically won those six titles basically has that type of tenacity to him. I know Kobe, everybody talk. Nah, man, they only made one of them motherfuckers that basically has that level of tenacity and that much of asshole in them. I don't think Pat Mahomes has that.
He may not be that much of an asshole, but I think he might want it that much.
I don't know.
Because that dude in Chicago, he's a different breed. He is clearly a different breed.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think Pat Mahomes has anything close. But we're gonna talk about the Chiefs. But staying with the Broncos, I think that when it comes to this team, it's like they have the pieces that you can basically be like, if they're not gonna be the one that's going to unseat the Chiefs, then they might be at least close enough that it's like if they make one or two moves, then they will be ready to. I mean, they got Riley Moss, who is one of the nicest white corners you're going to ever see. Also, one of the only white corners you're going to ever see. And so, like, with that, under that, like, this white stallion going to have a white corner basically going with them and basically being there to combat the onslaught that you got the Ladd McConkey, who's a white guy. And then you got, you know, like, Brock Bowers. You got all these I keep naming these wide receivers. White receivers. They got a lot of weapons within this AFC West that basically Denver has the firepower to contend with. And especially when it comes to the rest of the league, I think they have enough to basically contend in that AFC, a hotly contested AFC.
Yeah, it's damn sure going to be interesting. But where there are rises, there are falls. And I just got to throw this one out here. Rob likes the Raiders. Do you guys like the Raiders? Rob, tell us why you like the Raiders this year.
So just to go back to what I was talking about, like where you got, you know, another up-and-coming team within the AFC West. You got, you know, the Raiders, who were right there. Like, they went and got Pete Carroll to basically be their head coach, you know, drug his ass out of retirement, you know, probably hitting on every septuagenarian that you have ever seen there. And so, like, nah, man, that man is basically there. I think he's going to basically bring some new blood and at least for the next couple of years make the Raiders good. He reunited with Geno Smith in the offseason, so now they're going to be going over there. They went and re-signed Max Crosby, gave him a fat-ass deal that basically got enveloped by other deals, essentially. And so, like, no, I mean, this team has the pieces, it's going to be a lot of pieces talk that we're going to do with this.
Yeah.
But, like, they have things that you can believe in. Christian Wilkins coming into another year. They just went and drafted Ashton Jeanty, went and got Raheem Mostert. Like, they have some things that you could basically be like, all right, man, like, I could at least put a flyer on this team. Yeah, they're the Raiders. Yeah, they basically been afflicted. And with this whole, we cannot do shit, and we're going to have shit that's basically fall apart. Like, another team that we're going to talk about in a little second. But, like, we do have Trey Tucker. We got Jacoby Myers. And like I said, we got Geno Smith, who is a very capable quarterback. He basically played well in Seattle. They just kind of seemingly, to be honest, got tired of, yeah, like, what his level was, which is upper good, but not necessarily good enough. It's a weird kind of quandary with them. But for somebody like the Raiders, whose floor has basically been in hell, I mean, he's going to basically raise it up a little bit better, where it's going to be at least at sea level, at the very least. Yeah. So, no, I mean, I'm liking the Raiders. Like, I don't see them as a team that I could skip on Sundays if I'm watching them. Like, I'm going to basically be in tune to them. But what do you think about it?
Whereas last year I passed on them a lot of times, I will stop and look. Ashton Jeanty was a questionable pick to me in a way because I felt like they needed a receiver. They went and got a running back. Cool. But then you also went and got Mostert. Maybe you have a two-headed monster coming out of the backfield. Geno was damn sure upgrade at quarterback because it was like, but you had too much not going on back there.
B-U-T-T, but.
But we need to look at them rising enough to be somewhat relevant, but not necessarily saying they're going to threaten everybody else's playoff hopes, except for one particular team who we may talk about here next. But it's not just that they're the threat. It's, I almost feel like, supernatural powers that's going to stop that other team. The Raiders may surprise us this year. They may come out 9-10 wins. They may do the unexpected. Okay. Jacoby Myers may have one of his best years this year. Like you did say, as much as I hate to say it, Geno, you're like an upgraded chicken sandwich. You're a little extra crispy. You got a little extra seasoning to you, but you ain't that perfect, super deluxe, five-star dining sandwich with all of the bacon and the smoke shit and Gouda cheese and all of that.
Are you trying to make everybody hungry, including the co-host? That was a very descriptive ass sandwich that you just made. Like, I was following you, and then it's like, I don't even know if we're talking about the same sport, because like my stomach is like, man, this nigga is saying like this, like let that man speak. That man is preaching some gospel. What are he trying to say? Let him ride. Let him cook.
Hey, all in all, I do think that this is gonna be a rising year for them, but I gotta jump to the next one. What gypsy curse will happen to the Chargers? And this is where I'm going with this, Rob. There is some supernatural power that does not like the Chargers.
It don't. It's weird. It's very weird. I don't know what it is. And the thing is like, the reason why we say this is because it's something with the Chargers that always afflicts them. I know like Rashawn Slater got hurt like the start of 1 year. Joey Bosa, like the time, like the only thing I really think about Joey Bosa is that nigga just be gone for like 3 months all the damn time. Whether it's 3 months in the offseason, 3 months in the, you know, during the season, whatever it is, it's for some reason he's always coming back from something and getting a standing ovation for him coming back. And granted, he plays his ass off, but it's like he plays his ass off until, and that's been the thing with the Chargers. The Chargers have always had an until thing about them. Like it's always cool until, and it's like, I don't know what is going to be the gypsy curse. Is it going to be like, all right, we're going to come to the game and then all of a sudden bang going to come out the ground and then basically like knock out half the field, or like they're going to basically get to the stadium and then all of a sudden Justin Herbert's right arm just disappears. Not that it's cut off, not that it basically, you know, ran away or somebody took it. It just ain't going to be there. They're going to come to the game and then you're going to hear Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport is like, I know y'all not going to believe this. I know y'all going to be bugging about this. But they're going to be like, yeah, Justin Herbert's arm gone. Like, and they're going to be showing like this, like they're going to do a sports science and everything. RIP John Brinkus. Like they're going to basically do like everything to say like, man, it's gone. Or an ice raid, because that's just where we at now. But yeah, like something's gonna happen with this team that it's gonna be like, what the fuck is going on? And because you're gonna be like, hey, this team had the number one defense last year. This team has pieces that they basically brought in. They drafted Amari Hampton out of North Carolina. Ladd McConkey's coming in for another year. He looked great last year. He looked like a number one. Granted, Mike Williams just retired. But it seems like they have, you know, some nice pieces amongst them to basically ride out for them. Like, you know what this team looks like? This team looks like it's going to run the ball. They got a great line. Joe Alt and Rashawn Slater right there up top. They just went and got Mekhi Becton. It's like there's all these things that's like, yeah, man, this team can win about 11, 12 games this year and really take control of the Chargers. But, oh, damn, they're in a vortex. They just so happen to be in a vortex. What vortex? We don't know. We're still trying to find Dr. Strange and basically get all the pieces together to basically, you know, get the IF Newt, you know, the people that just watch Ironheart, they're trying to get Red Hood to basically go out and figure, or the Hood, and like get Mephisto and all these kind of things. Spoiler alert, sorry. Like, But like all these things that, you know, that they can find in order to basically find this team and figure out what can be done about them. It's like, that's what's going to happen. And we just don't know. Just don't know until it happens.
I'm telling you now, though, something is going to stop them. It may even be the curse of J.K. Dobbins having the most spectacular game against them. Something is going to happen that's going to keep them out of there. And that's why I said the Raiders might have a shot in this, because the Chargers always have something.
Something. It's weird. Something. It's very, very, very weird.
They may need to call the Ghostbusters over there. I'm going to be honest with you, bro.
And we were talking about it before the show. It's something about the team, the other team in L.A. Because as y'all know, and because I, you know, I stopped calling them that, and it goes back and forth with me too. But there are the other team in L.A. Like, it's the same thing as the Angels. Just can't get right. It's something about that team that just can't get right. And it's just like they're cursed in some way, but you can't really understand why and how, because there's no reason for them to be cursed. Nothing really that they've done for them to be cursed. They basically keep having these afflictions, but for whatever reason, this happens constantly. So what is it going to be, and when is it going to happen? We just won't know until it happens.
And it's going to happen. I guarantee it's going to happen, Ron. It's going to happen. But moving from the other team in L.A. to the people, the man, the myth, every kingdom can fall and rise again. And I'm talking about the Chiefs. I think even if the Chiefs have an off year, Rob, we've talked about it, it's hard to sustain a lot of greatness over many, many, many seasons. Even Brady had a season where he fell off, and then he had
plenty. Bounce back. Yeah, a few seasons.
Yeah, I think even if the Chiefs were to fall down this season, it's just gonna be a revamping year, you know. But they do have some hope. We're gonna see what the NFL does about this suspension for Rashid Rice, because they've decided to sentence him to 30 days in jail, and he just has to serve the whole time at some point over the next, I think it's 5 years of probation. Mm-hmm. They've made offensive line changes. They're looking better as a wide receiving core. They're also making changes on defense, but their main concern was we need to get this line together, which they've started to pretty much get their line together, which was a huge concern for them last year because Patrick Mahomes ran for his life a lot.
A lot.
It was just a lot of him running. So even if they were to have an off year this year, I feel like they can still bounce back. I feel like they're still a viable team. But as I told you earlier, I think that he may have a slight chip on his shoulder because he didn't win. And he doesn't like how he got his ass beat. That he may come out here and try to be on fire. Now, we don't know for sure, but I know this. Them picking up Joshua Simmons, the offensive tackle, was something, was to me them saying, hey, we trying to get this right so we can make sure that he'll be all right. So even if the kingdom falls, they'll be back. The Phoenix must rise again.
What do you have to say? Patrick Mahomes has played 133 games overall in the last 8 years.
Right.
So he has played in the AFC Championship game every year of his career, outside of the year that basically he didn't play, essentially. So really, it's like 7 years. You know, so 133 games in 7 years. That's a fucking lot. All right. Yes. And granted, he's won two MVPs. He's won three Super Bowls now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a lot, dude. And my thing really is, like you said, it has to go away sooner or later. And it's got to, and all these cats have got to stop. You already seen Travis Kelce take a downturn. Yeah. Granted, they've been supplementing. You know, they've gotten Trent McDuffie. They got Xavier Worthy. They got Rashee Rice, which, yeah, we don't know what's essentially going to happen with him. But It's 133 games in 7 years, and this man has basically been, yeah, like you said, running for his life for a good amount of it. It ain't to where he just was running for his life last year. It ain't just to where he went up against a formidable team like the Eagles last year. Those guys have been kind of treading water in certain situations, especially last year, and that's why a lot of people didn't believe that they were going to make the Super Bowl run that they did. You know, everybody talks about the refs. I don't think it's really much things the refs can really do outside of literally Tim Donaghy the fucking button when it comes to them. And so when it comes to this team, I don't think that they'll be able to make the AFC Championship game, which is not a shocker. It shouldn't be a hot take. It's something that should be like, this is a normal path, a normal progression of how you are. Because think about it. Like, it's not like Tom Brady was in the AFC Championship game every single year when he was playing. It wasn't as if, like, you know, these dynasties that we talk about really that long. Like, Cowboys dynasty, at least with the 90s, was not that long. The 49ers, their whole thing was not a ton long. It was off and on with a lot of different people coming in and out. But the fact of the matter is, this man has been on an unprecedented run, and that precedent has to catch up to you sooner or later. Now, granted, will they basically take a downturn, miss the playoffs this year, and then come back next year and win the Super Bowl? All possible, but it has to be known for the 2025-2026 season that they can't keep this shit up. They really just can't, and that's what my whole thing is. I'm not really going to say I'm not against Mahomes. I love Mahomes. I love watching Patrick Mahomes, especially when he rears back and fires. But this team has basically been a team that is destined to blow. And it's going to happen this year. We're going to see what it is this year. You know, because granted, they have in their division the number one and the number three defense that were last year. They were there last year. And those defenses haven't really lost anything to where you can basically say they're going to take a downturn. These are still going to be good ass defenses that are going to be coming at that motherfucker like crazy.
Correct.
I could honestly see, and you can, hey, AI bot, catch this. I think the Chiefs missing the playoffs this year.
And just like that on Bermigo's podcast, you heard Rob and I bet against the Chiefs, and they're probably going to win because we bet against the Chiefs. So it's just how this usually works out for us.
Look, I'm going to say it. It's gotta happen. It's got to happen sooner or later, dog. Like, it's got to be to where if they don't miss the playoffs, they'll be out in the first round. That's the ceiling for them. For me, that's what I'm saying this season.
You know what the scary part is that I think about sometime, Rob? What if that was their down year and them treading for water and winning by the skin of their teeth was their down year and they just come out here just whipping ass?
Then that'd be awesome. And I'd love to see it.
That's a scary fucking thing, bro.
That is a scary thing. Because it's not just that. It's the Andy Reid's. Because Andy Reid's play calling has been a little stubborn where he's just like, I want everybody to go downfield. And then Kelsey's going to turn in and then he's going to bust it out. Or they're going to look at Kelsey and then I'm going to throw it downfield. That's been the whole thing. They've been running. They've been having Isaiah Pacheco basically come in here and there and have good runs. But then he gets hurt and then they bring in Case of Steel and whatever. But like, it's been just, hey, go down there. I'm going to either throw it to Kelsey or go down there. They're going to get Kelsey. I'm going to throw it to you. And we're going to bubble screen and do all this whoop-de-doo shit here and there, but it's like I think everybody's built up that it's not gonna work as well as it was. So that's what I'm saying. This might be the miss.
Don't be surprised if they try to bring back to take the top off the defense offense, because Xavier Worthy showed us at the end of the Super Bowl that he may be able to substitute Tyreek Hill in this. And Lord have mercy if he's able to do it. Because I promise you, if he's able to do it, that's a dangerous thing. Because that boy fast.
You know what? I could honestly see the Chiefs. If what I could see, the Chiefs basically trying to get Tyreek Hill back. with Rashee Rice being gone.
If the Chiefs were to get Tyreek Hill back across from Xavier Worthy.
With Marquise Brown.
Yeah, with Marquise Brown. Travis Kelce's gonna catch 1,000 yards and that light-skinned guy back there, quarterback probably gonna throw for 5K. Mm-hmm. He's probably gonna throw for 5K and they're probably gonna average about 30
points. Now, if that is the case, then now they're going to the Super Bowl. Yeah. If Tyreek Hill comes back, that's the only thing that's gonna change my mind. If Tyreek Hill basically comes back to the Chiefs some way, somehow. But other than that,
comes back to the Chiefs, Rob. I would be like, I'm gonna go ahead and start a GoFundMe for me and you to go ahead and go to Super send us a Super Bowl in Kansas.
Just bring us through.
Just let us witness this, because goddamn it, it'll be something crazy
mm-hmm.
to watch them too. But moving on, NBA. And what did Rob say? Rob guarantees Bradley Beal will be an all-star this year.
Ooh, y'all see that banner? You see my name on that? You see my name on that banner? I'm guaranteed. See that? Center. Brad Beal. Spread. I guarantee that motherfucker's going to be an all-star. I think STL legend Brad Beal, now that he has got his Monet from the Suns, and basically going to LA to play for Tyronn Lue and be in that offense with James Harden, with Ivica Zubac, with Kawhi. Like, I think that Brad Beal filling in as that Norm Powell, what they had, is going to be an all-star, just like the caliber that Norm Powell had for last year. I'm putting it down there. I guarantee that motherfucker's gonna be an all-star. He gonna represent 314. He gonna basically be right there telling y'all, hey, I'm back. I'm now don't have to play point guard, or I got basically somebody that's gonna put me in the right position to be what I am. I got smart coaching that's right with me. I got smart ownership that's basically gonna put things around to basically make me. He is going to be an all-star. You heard it here first. You didn't hear it here last. Bradley Beal is going to be an all-star this year. I'm for show on it.
I'm going to say this. With you saying this, I'm going to say that it has officially become scary hour in the Western Conference. 50 is going to be the number to dance.
Minimum.
50. 50 is going to be the minimum. I'm talking Kobe them year, whenever it's 08, 09, 10, it is going to be 50. 50 is your number to dance this year. If you ain't got 50, you ain't getting in. The dance is closed. Keep your ass outside the club. You can post up. You can parking lot pimp. But you ain't going to be pimping in inside the champagne room this year.
Ain't no sense.
50 going to be the number, Rob. 50 is going to be the number. And while we're talking about numbers, new alert.
What are we talking about? Ooh.
Tape delay.
Yeah. Yeah. We got a new segment called Tape Delay.
And what it say?
Rob remembers his point about basketball. Because, see, here's what happens, y'all. We record these things, and Rob, this guy, he's so smart. He has so many things to say. He's got so many things in his head that, you know, back in the day, and this is for y'all kids. This is for kids, because we don't have this now, because everybody got phones. Everybody got, you know, things like instant gratification. Boom, boom, boom. But we used to have this thing called tape delay. Mm-hmm. And what tape delay was, whenever basically something was on TV, like the NBA Finals, for that matter, before your boys was born, it used to actually be on tape delay, yep. Meaning that it was taped. And then it was broadcasted at another time. Not instantaneous, not live. It was legitimately taped where you had to watch it some other time. And so my thoughts sometimes are on tape delay. And this is a point that I basically had to make, because it was about, I want to say a couple weeks ago, we were talking about something. And basically, I had an overall point about basketball and what basketball is becoming. And I want to basically talk to y'all about it. Basketball is trying to be everything except what it's supposed to be, which is art. basketball is trying to be baseball because it's trying to have all these little metrics that basically are involved in it. It's trying to basically have all these different numbers that all these whiz kid guys that basically would tell you what somebody's doing per minute, per second, per inch, per mile. And it fucks up the aesthetics of the game and how people perceive the game. And what I mean by that is when we talk about basketball, it's really more of a microcosm sport where it's not necessarily about what somebody does, how many points per minute, how many assists per minute, how many like box plus minus. It's about, hey, remember when so-and-so dropped this at this? So, hey, remember when Melo dropped whatever at Madison Square Garden? Remember when LeBron dropped something on whoever? Like, that's what basketball is supposed to be about. It's not supposed to be a generalized, big picture sport. It's supposed to be about the moments. Like, when we talk about Like Mike, we don't talk about Like Mike from a PR standpoint. We talk about Like Mike from, oh, that motherfucker looks cool standpoint. Yes, we talk about the sport as if like it's more something of you. Like when we look at a piece of art, we don't look at like the different lines and how basically well and like the different things, like the strokes per minute that the person did on the picture. We just look at the picture for what it is and basically we love it and we enjoy it. And I think when it comes to basketball, we've stopped enjoying it. We try to generalize the sport as if it's like some kind of like point that we need to make instead of looking at the points that it do make, which is look at what the guys do. We're not talking about, oh, well, somebody, we don't miss the Tyrone Hill mid game. We don't want to talk about that. I don't care about that. I don't care about the space. I care about the aesthetics. If Tyrone Hill shoots a mid-range jumper, that's what I was trying to say. If he shoots a mid-range jumper, that looks good. It looks good. I don't care. I understand basically that made really more for the Anthony Edwards of the world and the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of the world to shoot more middies. But it's the thing of if basically everything is like, oh, we need to get the most efficient shot and make it a supposed to game, is going to make it stupid. Because the thing about it is, when is the last time that somebody said you're supposed to do something, it was something that was aesthetically pleasing? Like, when is this last time somebody said you were supposed to do something and it was the thing that you wanted to do? Hmm. If you're in a game, if you're in a world of supposed to, you're not in a world of want. You're in a world of have to. You're in a world of responsibility, and responsibility, as much as you want to basically put it, ain't sexy. Get the game back to being sexy and let motherfuckers just play and stop worrying about some goddamn supposed to. Let the fucking game play. Get rid of the stats. Get more into what the game is, which is a beautiful game.
Less numbers, more beauty. And with Rob shooting mental middies to H-Town, Rockets finals run incoming. I'm calling it here right now. Rob spoke on middies, and I bring up one of the most mid-range efficient shooters in Kevin Durant being in Houston. Rob, I think that this is their chance, and they're going to make a finals run.
Ooh, that is oof.
I'm gonna tell you why.
Go ahead. I want to hear.
50 is the number to dance off riff. Okay. I'm thinking that this is gonna be the number to dance, and I think that the Rockets are gonna repeat what they did, but they're not gonna have that offensive slack that they were missing last year. Okay. They had a lot of offensive inconsistencies with Jalen Green. No more offensive consistencies. There's a guy that can drop 27 minutes sleep and kick his feet up at the end of the game, and he in his nappy naps of unbrushed hair is just gonna be there.
Yeah, that man. Whew, a headache, man. That's why he's so mad all the time. He can't brush his hair.
He might be, and maybe that's what fuels him to just drop 27, 28, 50 on people all the time. Just I can't get this shit right, and he And then he go out there and he torture your team for 35, and you're like, damn, what's wrong with him? Why is he so angry?
I didn't do it.
Yeah, we did nothing to him. But Houston has a chance. Houston, I think the city of Houston is going to be on fire this NBA season. I'm predicting they have 52. I'm looking more to 55, 57, maybe even closer to 60 from them this year. They're going to be hanging in contention with OKC, and I think the Clippers, the Nuggets, are going to be in fast tune behind them, and also Dallas is going to rise from injuries because they picked up D'Lo, to substitute for Kyrie right now. They're getting their center back. AD should be healthy. AD, you better be healthy all this time. You didn't have to sit around your house and get healthy. This is going to be a run. The West is going to be tight. That's why I'm saying it's 50 to dance this year.
Like
it's
cheats.
50 to dance. It was 48 last year. I'm looking at 50. I'm looking at Sacramento going on the decline some. I'm looking at, I don't think Phoenix is going to quite be there. Utah just got a new guy. I don't think they're going to be there.
They could be. I got a sneaky Utah. I'll say it here first. Utah is going to be a playing team.
Ooh. Now you're thinking Utah. I'm thinking New Orleans might be a playing team.
Why would you think New Orleans is a playing team?
I am from Louisiana. I'm just throwing that out there. But I think New Orleans has the ability to be a playing team because Derrick Queen went to surgery early. It's not a knee or anything like that. It's a wrist thing. I'm looking at that they picked up Jeremiah Fears. I like him a lot. Hopefully our residential superstar can leave the win of the cornographic away. And I say cornographic, people. I didn't say the other word.
Yeah.
He can leave them alone. DeJounte Murray can return to form. And we also have a lot of up-and-coming prospects that showed, hey, we have talent. You're looking at my boy, Trey Alexander is there, who they just got from Creighton. He's very nice. You got a backup in Jose Alvarado. He's going to be there. Trey Murphy III, who I am a huge fan of. Trey Murphy III is incredible. Everybody wanted to trade for him. He is lightning in a bottle. He can go out there, drop 30, 40 like that. Jordan Poole pickup was really good for us. I think that he's going to revamp his career because he didn't want to be in Washington. They sent him to Washington. He was like, I don't want to be here, you know. After he got the man was assaulted and then sent to Washington, Rob. I'm pretty sure you wouldn't want to be assaulted and then sent somewhere that you don't want.
Well, the assaulted part, yes, but the Washington D.C. part, you can send my ass to Washington D.C. at any time. I love that city. Fuck that.
Well, he didn't want to be there.
That's a him thing. That I would love to be in D.C.
I think that it's a lot of good pieces in New Orleans that if they put it together, they could be a playing team.
Okay.
That Western Conference is just so tight now.
Yes.
And then I look across in the East and it's the same thing. Oh, well, it's more up for grabs in the East. But
yes.
In the West, it's so tight right now that I'm thinking it's 50 to dance. And I'm thinking if you don't come with at least 50, you're not making it. If 48 was last year, and we're looking at OKC is the champ. They picked up Westbrook, who's going to be their relief guard. Houston picks up KD. The Lakers pick up Ayton, but we don't know what Ayton is going to be. Denver's making moves, backup center, guards, whatnot. The Clippers picked up one of the biggest moves that they could have, not only getting Brook Lopez as a center to stretch the floor to play along next to Zubac, but also grabbing Bradley Beal. I don't know who negotiated that. Something went on behind the scenes behind that, Rob. Because I didn't see him becoming a Clipper. And whenever he said, I'm going to become a Clipper, something was filed in Denmark.
Okay. Nah, because he said he basically, it was like five teams that were trying to get his services. And he went to, I would say, like probably the best situation for him because like everybody loves playing for Tyron, or a lot of players love playing for Tyronn Lue. That team basically is generally in contention every year. It's really just more of, okay, we got James Harden coming back. We got Kawhi. Like, what really, like, they seem to always have it going compared to, like, to other teams that, you know, probably was going for a service.
And I'll say this. Healthy Kawhi is top five in the league, though.
Oh, yeah.
He's top five in the league if he's healthy, yes. Which is scary to think about. Minnesota lost some pieces. They're not exactly there, but they're going to be there because Ant-Man, you know, he's the will of a thousand bulls. Young Bulls probably not going to back down, you know. Mm-mm. He's still with it. Golden State trying to figure it out still. We don't know what moves they might continue to make.
Mm-hmm. Giannis.
Giannis is maybe still in the picture for that one. He may still be there. And then you look at Memphis. Memphis is hoping Ja is going to be healthy so they can put together what they can put together because Scottie Pippen Jr. was a cheat code for them.
Yeah.
Flat
that man,
out.
That man was looking like he's pre money. Like he's pre about to make some money.
And I'm thinking if he can repeat what he did and he can do it over 70 something games, Memphis is gonna be like, let us go ahead and hand you a check real quick before you get out of hand.
I got a question for you. Does the East look post-apocalyptic to you?
Yes.
Like, cause I was trying to think of like what's the best phrase to like talk about like all the things that basically, cause we got Indiana that basically seemed like they were gonna be poised to make a run. Tyrese Halliburton snaps. Boston, the team that basically has held it down for that whole conference. Jason Tatum, snap. Like, and then you got Dame Lillard for that Bucks team, snap, but also goes back to Portland. And then Giannis is basically like, y'all got me Miles Turner, but what else? And that team is not going to be that good next year, especially with Dame Lillard gone and those pieces that they traded for Dame Lillard gone. So, like, it's the thing of, it's like, what is it, like, it because when we talked about before with the East, we talked about the Hawks are going to rise up. We talked about the Magic going to rise up. We talked about, you know, what are we going to get out of the Sixers, even though they got VJ Exum. I know you said you like him.
Yep.
Like, it seems like it's the meek inheriting the earth in the East. And it seems like we're going to have at least about two or three teams that's going to have losing records make the playoffs in that, just like the olden days.
Yep.
Like, it's the best way I could put it is this team, this whole conference, the Eastern Conference is post-apocalyptic.
Yes. And it also segues way into this. NBA moves that we've liked so far. This is where Rob is going with this. The East has so much that went wrong. Rob, this is post atomic nuclear bomb being dropped and everybody say, hey, we on the move. We got to make this happen. Look, something got to shake right now. Okay? Mm-hmm. And the best way to put this is this. The East was shook so bad due to injuries. Remember, Dame just took 3 years to go back with a no-trade clause. And $42 million. They're not paying Dame a bunch of money because Dame just got paid.
And he's not going to play this year.
Yeah. So not only do you have room on the books for somebody else, but you know whenever he comes back next year, if he only gives you 20 a game, he's only costing me $42 million over the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you want to really break it down, he got paid. I'm going to pay him this year. And then I got him for 2 years, okay? So I'm only really dealing with him for 2 years, and I still have salary cap. The East, Cleveland, is still there. Granted, everybody's looking at Darius Garland being one of the people that they're pointing fingers at saying, you know, you didn't help this situation this offseason. So if I was him, I'd be paying attention to where I could end up. okay, Boston, no Tatum. Brown had a meniscus tear. He went into surgery. They dumped Porzingis. Drew Holiday is gone. They're thinking Derek White might get traded too. Boston just almost went into refresh rebuild mode in the turn of we won the championship. Okay, let's break this shit down now that we lost.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were going to do that anyway. It was just that it kind of made an excuse for them to do so. Like, they were so high up above, like, I think the second April. I don't know.
Yep, they were.
Guys, I will full transparency say, I don't know what the fuck they be talking about. When I be hearing second April and all the kind of shit, I understand it to an extent, but I don't know it. But essentially, the Boston was spending so much money, especially with Brown and Tatum's contract, and especially with Tatum not playing next year and the uncertainty with Brown, they were going to probably lose the Holiday and or Porzingis sooner or later, but it was just like they were like, well, we might as well clean up now because everything's kind of gone to shit.
Yeah. It only pays to be in those second apron of taxes whenever you know that you're winning.
Right. Like if you're that Warriors dynasty that they had with KD or whatever, it's like, yeah, we'll pay because that's essentially what they did. They were like, we'll pay the tax. Fuck it. I don't care. But what the NBA, I think, was saying was that like, okay, well, you're going to lose some draft picks or you can't go out and get certain players and you can't go get mid-level exceptions, some shit like that. But it was like, you're more hamstrung on what you can do as a team when it comes to player acquisition, especially if those players get hurt.
Whenever you're in that type of mode, you say, fuck it, I'll pay the taxes. Let me do this. But it's not going to pay for Boston to do that. Then you look down at New York. Does New York keep Cat? Does New York make a move for Giannis? Is that the switch with them and the Bucks? To me, now it wouldn't make sense because of picking up Miles Turner. So I'm looking at New York saying,
no. It does make sense. Cat ain't trying to play the five. So, I mean, you have Miles Turner to play the five. You keep Cat at the four. You get a Twin Towers. And that's really it. I mean, you don't help yourself as far as toughness, I guess. I'm not a person that's going to – I'm not talking about Cat's toughness. I'm not going to be that dude. I'm not. But the man plays how he plays. And it's not an indictment on him as a person. It's just really more just – how he plays on the court. He's not a Giannis type player. And that's not to say anything disparaging against him because it's not many motherfuckers like him, but he's not going to be that person that's going to be that inside rim protector that you want at least somebody at the four that might play at the five to be, or a 7-footer. Yeah. He doesn't play like a big, he plays like a tall. But as far as transactions that happen, can I say something that made me sad?
What?
So I'm looking through like SpotTrack and I'm looking at like the deals that's been made. It's like Spencer Dinwiddie going to the Hornets made me sad. Because I've liked Spencer Dinwiddie, but it's like the thing about the Hornets is it's like it's the last chance you of the NBA. And it's like it's more like a halfway house, like, or like purgatory. Like it's like, okay, you're about to go somewhere else. It's going to be out of the league. It's going to be, you know, Turkey. It's going to be in Spain. It's going to be whatever. But this is your, like, jump off point before you go there. And this is just your place to go before you're there. Because there's nothing that you're going to really do there. Because I know, who was it that made the – this is another thing that I wanted to talk about. And I know y'all like, why did he just raise his voice so mad? I saw a headline that this motherfucker Paul George said. And I don't know if you saw this, Nate. But here's what this motherfucker was talking about. And I want to basically bring up the quote. But essentially what this motherfucker said was he didn't want to go to the Hornets in free agency because they didn't have a winning culture to play around him. Or, yeah, let me bring up the exact quote. If I'm a free agent, and hold on, sorry. Like, if I'm a free agent, and I'm not picking Charlotte just because there's no winning culture there alone. Regardless, Charlotte is an amazing city. Would love to play for the Hornets because of the city. Like I could care, like I could see myself living there. But in terms of basketball standpoint, my career is over if I'm going there. That man said, I didn't want to go to Charlotte because they didn't have a winning culture, but chose the Sixers. I was like, you don't understand the irony of what the fuck you are talking about. Like, there is no way you can basically be like, oh man, like I could never go to Charlotte. So let me pick Philly, the team that lost on purpose to get some guys that one of them is gone and the mm-hmm. other one ain't hardly ever there. Like, get the fuck out of here, dude. I the thing, because I know you talk about, piss pee. I can't remember. Regular season urine. Like, I can't really, like, it's like, now I'm on your side. I've never been more on your side than right now. Because when he said that shit, I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? The Sixers? And it was people I put in the, like, Facebook thing, commenting, like, what are you talking about? And they're like, well, you know, Sixers had a history of winning championships. Neither one of us was born when that not happened. Not
even remotely close.
We were a glimmer in our daddy's eye when that fucking happened, all right? So get the fuck away from, even when they made the finals the last time, I don't know how many people on this Sixers team was born. Like, that's the thing about, like, saying shit like that. Get it. They've won a championship. They've won before. That was before. And you know what they say about this, like the wire quote. You know what they say about the old days? Them the old days. And the culture is not there as far as winning. It is not. Hasn't been since Joel Embiid has been there, since old boy basically made the trust the process. Like, that shit hasn't been there because there has never been anybody to basically make that shit happen.
Not only that, how the fuck can he talk? He only played half a season once he get paid. He should want to go to Charlotte. He should want to say, I'm going to take your money and I'm going to sit at my house. You'll see me half the year and the other half I'll be doing my podcast, because I just said this. He don't show up to play till it's time for that contract. And then right after that, on cue like clockwork, what happened the other day? I'm hurt,
again? Dog. Don't stop.
You just got paid.
I'm like, look, I could be an oblivious motherfucker sometimes, but this motherfucker is continuously on that obliviousness. Obliviousnessity. Like, come on, dude. Like, you can't. The Sixers are the winning culture that you wanted to go to. The Sixers. Come on, man. Like, it's like, do you know what the fuck you just rapped? Like, do you know what the fuck you just put on wax? Did you hear yourself in the headphones? Like, come on, man.
Let me tell you something, Paul George. I respect you, but dog, you the same dude who you played the other year. You played 70-something games to get a contract from Philly to play 41 games. To come into the season and 5 days ago, you get hurt. Oh, he needs surgery. So is he going to be back by the time this starts? We don't know. Is he going to have problems with this knee again during the season? I don't know. But I do know one thing, Rob. I do know one thing. Watch that last year, whenever he's about to retire, 70-something games. He's going to be there playing either that or he's going to be on the bench somewhere 70-something games and he's going to be suited to play. You can't write this shit any better, especially for him. I wouldn't want to play in Charlotte because, you know, there's no culture there. Why does it even matter? You sitting on you at home half the year.
Right. You're only getting so much culture in you.
Last year, you had on a boot and was recording podcasts, and Tyrese Maxey was out there sweating like a Hebrew slave on the court trying to get a win by himself because Joel Embiid ain't nowhere. It's him, Kelly Oubre, and the second string some dudes he'd win. Some dudes.
Maybe him, maybe me and Nate. You never know if you just go back and watch the game.
You might have seen me and Rob check in, though. Why do you think that they were able to draft VJ Edgecombe? Because they lost so much that they had a high draft pick.
What bro, the fuck are you on?
He can't tell me anything, though. He can't. He can't tell me anything. His foot and knee are in a boot more than anything. He records more podcasts than he puts up shots in practice right now.
Like he's killing us in the podcast game. Like, we cannot. We pull up once a week. That man is like continuously making him. Because
he ain't got nothing else to do, Rob.
Yeah,
we at least look.
We got shit to do.
If I was the Sixers, I'm be honest with you. Him and Joel Embiid would be gone, though. I'm gonna turn this shit over to Edgecombe and Tyrese.
I see what I get from Embiid. Yeah. See what I get from Paul George, and I call it a day.
Grimes and stuff, bro. I'm gonna just see who I get.
There needs to be a reset in Philly. Like this is not even talking about them and on some like whatever. There needs to be a reset in Philly. There legit needs to be a reset in Philly.
Hit the button, start the hell over, bro, because you put too much in the process and Ben Simmons and nah, dude who does more podcasts and then he's on the court. He's already having a knee surgery, though.
Yeah.
Nah. I can't do it. I can't do it, bro. I gotta move on. MLB.
Mm-hmm.
Our boy, the polar bear, Pete Alonso, wants fighting in baseball. And so does Rob. Rob, we trying to turn this into MLB hockey now?
Yeah. I mean, look. So if y'all not aware, so Pete Alonso basically put out a quote. And he basically said that if there was one rule I could change, because he was asking a question like, if there was one thing you could change about baseball. That if there was one rule I could change, I don't think people should get ejected after charging the mound and fighting. I think it should be hockey style. And he said more is like, I'm trying to get the quote. I think if there's a rule, if you want to go out and charge the mound, then you should be able to. But if pitcher or hitter or whoever charges, and if they don't want to fight, they take a knee and they don't have to fight. I think that is probably as best as you could put it. The only issue is, somebody's gonna get Kinshasa in the fucking face. All right. So it's gonna happen. Somebody's gonna get like a shining wizard, and somebody's gonna get kneed in the fucking face, because you can't, it's only so much momentum you can stop, but it's like you gotta take that knee early. But no, is it I actually wrote about this 7 years ago, and I had a blog post, and I'll put it in the show notes, I'll put it so in it, whatever. But like, I've been wanting MLB to institute fighting for a very long time, and here's why. Because this doesn't happen as much now. Like, people still say it does. It doesn't happen as much now. But like, when people were pimping home runs, you get the pitcher that basically would throw some chin music to the hitter saying, "I didn't like that." I'm like, "Nah, man, shoot fair ones, not fucking balls at people." I said, basically, if you're gonna basically say, "Hey, I don't like what you did, put your dukes up, let's square off. Let's fight. If you got an issue, catch these hands." And I'm real about that. Like, I'm a person. I'm not a fighter. I am not a fighter, but I will fight. Because the thing about it is, if we got an issue, we got an issue. Let's go ahead and fight. If diplomacy ain't gonna work, let's go to war. That's my motto. So if we gonna basically want to fight me, then let's fight. But that's the thing. Like, when it comes to MLB pitchers, they used to get so hot and buttered. "Oh, he took too long rounding the bases. He should have gotten in 3.4 seconds. He took 4.3, and now I got to throw 100 miles an hour to his tip." Like, fuck that, dude. Like, get your dukes up and go fight that motherfucker if you really feel about it. Let everybody square it away. Y'all take y'all helmets and hats off and just put y'all dukes up and fight if y'all really feel some type of way. Because in hockey, those motherfuckers fight all the time. That whistle blow, those motherfuckers are on it. Like, granted, I don't only watch playoff hockey, but it's like every time the whistle blew, it was one motherfucker pulling another motherfucker, or it's like one motherfucker with his stick like at a motherfucker's chest on him against the boards. Like, those motherfuckers fight all the time. And it's for whatever reason. It's because they just feel like touching each other.
Face off. Them boys got the squaring all right at the dropper. Bro, that
shit was lovely. That shit was fucking lovely. I was on fire. Had the boy the Chucks STL Legends or from
the Lou.
And so I mean, kind of is you know, they've been around.
They were ready, Freddy,
and I loved every minute of it. But no, man, let them fight. If they got a fight, if they got an issue, like I said, let them fight. All right, that's what I'm saying. MLB, just let them fight. Let them fight.
And to be honest with you, I'm willing to put them in an inning penalty box and let them come back out there. I'm willing to do it. Me
too. Like whatever it is, I'm saying like just let them fight. Like yeah, like Tay basically say, hey, well, I mean, pitchers is gonna be hard because like you can't really put a pitcher in a penalty box and bring them back. Like they arms got to stay warm and everything like that. But like
you could look whenever he after he fight, you could warm one up in the bullpen and tell him, hey, you got to sit in him, but you can go stay warm. Go toss up a little bit. You can come back out there after the inning pass, but your homeboy got to pitch this inning for you.
I don't know. That would have to be worked out. But like I think that they should fight. If you got to fight, shit. We had Two Family Tim. That was like the last big fight in MLB. Like, and it wasn't as much. It was a little bit of a fight, but it was like a scuffle where that motherfucker just got duffed. That's the best way to put it. Because that motherfucker got bing bing, and he was down. Shout out to Two Family Tim.
Yeah. Shout out to Two Family Tim. You need to worry about him and both his women. You know, that it's one of them things though. I wouldn't mind seeing it at all. Now, recently we just had the All-Star game, Rob, and it came down to a swing-off. So,
swing-ons to swing-offs.
Feelings about the swing-off and the home run derby. Let's start with the swing-off. What did you think about that? How did it make you feel? Because I know how it made me feel.
So, the first feeling I had was sleepy because that shit was like at damn near midnight.
Yeah.
Second feeling I had was happy. That shit was dope. It was nice. I loved it. Like you basically were like, all right, my three guys versus your three guys, three swings each. And we gonna do it like that. It was just an old fashioned swing off. Like I know I saw some people saying, like, hey, bring this for the playoffs. I wouldn't go that far, but like for the regular season, I'll be down for it. Like if say they go Ghost Runner for the first two innings. Then they go home run derby after. I'll be down for that. Because the thing about why we saw what we, you know, like it was, you know, the cats left. They were like, hey, we done. I'm ready to go on vacation. But like, no, I'm good with the idea of it. I'm good if they basically that and the automatic balls and strikes, which I've been wanting, like the automatic balls and strike system, which I think only one of the instances out of like five or six basically was like successfully challenged. So no, nah, man, I would love for them to bring the swing off. Like, what you thought about it?
Swing off was nice, but what I'll say is for All Star Weekend, give us a little bit of power. Let us pick who we want to see in the swing off from the teams. Let's make this a little interesting, you know. Let's add a little bit of fan favoritism in there. MLB always got something where you can text a vote in and they can calculate that shit real fast. They can make that happen.
Yeah.
Or if they even want to do it preemptively, seventh, eighth inning, hey, it look like it may be this. You guys vote just in case of a swing.
Yeah. I think that would be it. Like I think that's the way. And then you could basically make sure those guys don't fucking leave. You know, yep. And then it's like, all right, you know, they want Shohei and Judge basically for the swing off. You can pre-vote who you want for the swing off, and then you get the traction from it. So MLB, you're welcome, asshole.
You're welcome. You're definitely welcome. Like I said, you could just invite me and Rob out for like the next 10 All Star games. All
if you will.
You know, just help a brother out. But it wasn't bad. Now, home run derby. What did you think?
I liked it. I liked what they were trying to do with it. But I will say, like, I remember somebody said it was a lot of home runs that were missed. Because what they tried to do was try to appease the loud minority. And they, because I know there was people the year before saying that they wanted the behind the plate view for the home runs. And they wanted that more than they wanted just to see, like, okay, the person swing and then it goes out. The problem was that basically they had the behind the plate view, but it was just like you could only see so much. And if they didn't pull it, then you wasn't really seeing the home run. And then even if they pulled it, you only saw it so much, you know? And so like, it wasn't to where you could really get a good grasp on it. And granted, years prior, it was like, they would just go, you know, swing, contact, and then show the outfield. And like this year, it was like, they tried to do a drone and the drone couldn't see much of it. Like, it couldn't really catch much of it. It was like, cause you don't really know where the balls are going to go. So they were trying to get the drone to where they was going to see and track the ball. And it was a good concept. It just wasn't great execution. But what you thought about the home run derby?
Yeah. It is it's one of those things where with the derby, this is what I'll say. The derby was good to me. I'm with you. I don't agree with the view. I just don't. It's something about the view that just was like, like you said, they pull it. It's out of shot. It's more. They need to have more cameras to this. You know, give us as much feel as possible. And I think if you give us as much feel as possible, I'll be more happy with it. I'm not the happiest of, you know, how this went down this time. Can it be better? Yes.
Yeah.
Do I think it will get better? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my one gripe with it is this. I know Jazz Chisholm had 17. I think he had 17 home runs. Okay. I'm not going to fault him as much as I want to fault
him. He's an infielder.
Yeah. But you know that this ain't him just busting down like that. Okay? Now, if you pull me to the side and say, hey, bro, we put so-and-so in here because we know, you know, he may not cut it. And, you know, we kind of want the field to go this way. Okay, with these guys, I shut up and be like, all right, bet you
want it. They wanted the name of Jazz Chisholm in the home run derby. Because they were like, oh, who has people heard of? Like, let's put him in. And I think it was a good call to do. And, you know, some people, I ain't going to say who. I put some, you know, money on Jazz Chisholm to win the derby because they saw +2,000 on a, you know, site and basically was like, hey, that don't sound like a bad thing to put a couple, you know, quid on. And he, I mean, they like really felt that there was a possibility, even though you had people like a Junior Caminero, you had an O'Neill Cruz, you had a Cal Raleigh who's leading the home run, you know, in the league in home runs right now. And so they basically just felt that it would be a good idea for just, you know, just put some money on. So that's what I think MLB was going towards, to get that person to basically put some money and have a little bit more action and a little bit more, you know, eyes on the home run derby, even though they were going to watch it anyway because they love baseball and they have a podcast where they talk about baseball too. And so that's what it was. But no, I just, the one thing I would have to say is that look, Cal Raleigh, Randy Arozarena, thank you for not losing recipes by wearing y'all hat backwards, because y'all Mariners, y'all know what y'all need to do. Y'all wore it for Griffey. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for not, like I said, thank you for not losing recipes on that, because y'all knew y'all had to wear a hat. Y'all had to wear a backwards cap for the boy, for Mr. Swingman. So yeah. That's the one thing I would say was the big takeaway outside of seeing the Hank Aaron ceremony, because everybody's talking about it. I'm gonna talk about it too. That was absolutely great with what you guys did, MLB, for 7:15, having his widow there to see the celebration as well. And you know, it was in Atlanta, even though, you know, I make the joke about at the Braves basically moving out of downtown. They were in Cobb County. I think they were in Fulton County.
That's Fulton, yeah.
Yeah, Fulton Municipal Stadium. So that was in Fulton County, which isn't in Atlanta proper anyway, or It's in Atlanta proper, but it's not in the city anyway. So, you know, so yeah, that was absolutely a great, great thing that MLB, the Braves put on for Hank Aaron, rest in peace. So like, yeah, got to say that, you know, hit it out the park, pun intended, with that celebration.
Yeah. And take notes. That was the proper way that things have to be done for people like that.
Yep.
Big, that was a big thumbs up, mm-hmm. MLB. That was a big thumbs up. So, all-star event overall overview, I'd say it's pretty damn good, you know?
I fucked with it.
Yeah, I've said it many times. Look, you can't fake the MLB shit. It's no haphazardness like they can go out there and do during basketball and football, which is why every year this is one of my favorite ones to watch.
And they had fun too. Like those cats was throwing 100 miles an hour, still having fun playing with the guys and like joking around. You had Kershaw. I love seeing Kershaw basically being like, hey, Smoltz, what do you want me to throw? He's like, cutter. He's like, I don't throw a cutter. Like, he's like, do your fucking research, dude. That was funny. Like, I loved that. Like, that was cool. But that's the cool thing that the All-Star game could do, like, with the MLB All-Star game. That's why I love the MLB All-Star game over everything else. They actually try. You do see them have fun, and they basically hit it out the park, pun intended. Like, it's consistent.
Yeah. Only thing that we were missing, we didn't get a celebrity softball game.
They did a celebrity softball game.
I missed it.
I haven't watched it in a while, to be honest with you.
I missed it. That's one of the things I do like to watch, but I do like the All-Star game itself in home run derby because of what it is. Look, NBA, just take a few notes, okay?
Just try. Like every single solution we could come up with, whether it's USA World or whatever, if those motherfuckers just try, like all the NBA got to do, I promise you, I ain't gonna bet my paycheck, but I'll bet yours. But like, yeah. I bet you that like, if those motherfuckers try and or they basically put them in their regular jerseys, I honestly think that's all you really need to do. All they got to do is try more. That's it. Like, if they just try more, then basically we're good. That's all the people want to see is them try. And they basically all these different things. Like I said, it's cranes in the sky. I lighten my hair. I change my nails. I do this different makeup and I still feel the same. That's all that basically this has been. It's just been, you do all these different measures. You add the Elam ending. You add all these different things. All you want a motherfucker to do is just get their rear in gear. And that's all they really have to do. If they just try that, because that's what the MLB game, MLB All-Star game has over all the other sports. They try. They want to do this. They want to basically make it happen. Even though those motherfuckers got a long ass season, they can get in as long of a break. And they basically like that. The All-Star game was Wednesday or Tuesday.
Yeah, and they're back at it.
Friday. Yeah. So like they get no kind of break. Everybody else got a break. The motherfuckers get no kind of break. But yeah, man, just try. That's all you gotta do is just try.
Cause trust me, NBA, y'all have it made. It's 82 games versus 162 games. And then on top of that, y'all get a week off.
Y'all motherfuckers take time. Yeah, they take time off anyway. Like it's not as if like those motherfuckers, like, if they basically try in that game, that they basically can't just, you know, like, give them some extra time off so they can go to Cancun and really get a proper vacation.
Yeah.
Just try.
They have two extra days. Well, yeah. Wherever this All-Star
and,
is, it's
and
like...
to be honest, that might be the solution. Like, if they give All-Stars extra time off, like, I understand, like, if they say that made those games not count or something like that, if they just do that, I think it'd be fine. Because to be honest, that's the thing about the in-season tournament. If those motherfuckers try, because they're trying to win money for the cats at the end of the bench. If basically those motherfuckers just try in the All-Star game, maybe you win money for the cats at the end of the bench in the All-Star game as well. That's an incentive for them basically to do that. Like, whatever it is, just have them try.
Just figure it out. We need you guys to figure it out. Now, With that being said, you already know who we are. We are Bermigos Podcast. You know what to do. You always know to like and subscribe. Remember,
yeah,
you know,
get that heart in there. Look, get that heart.
Yeah, it's free. It's free 99, baby. It's free 99. Just go ahead. And then it won't trigger me. Right. It won't trigger me.
Oh, it's to do with a thumbs up. Nope, won't do that either. Like
it said nope. But with that being said, is there anything that you want to say, Rob, before we get about him?
Good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. Good night, Moon. Good night, June. Yeah, it's about to be we in July. Yep. Saw Superman. Superman was good. I liked it. Just putting that in there just for the transcript. And then what else? Hope y'all are good. Like I said, like, subscribe, hit us up on socials, check us out. We right there making jokes and talking about stuff. And so yeah, keep looking at these faces. Jarvis, shout out to the homie Visky, he's on assignment. That's what we're gonna say. But yeah. Peace out. Bye.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Bra Amigos Podcast. Make sure to like, comment,